Can you hear that Rocky Mountain water as it thunders coming down to wash you away? You can't hold back the rising tide, and you can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track. You can't stop the chain that's rolling down the track.
Welcome to Southpaws, episode 422. Never be afraid to be mediocre. I'm Saverin.
I'm Fuzzwolf.
And I'm Shiva.
And we are back at Shiva's place this week and have survived our plague. And by our plague, I mean mine. It has been a week for the ages. It has been incredibly gnarly at my house this entire week. Yeah. We had norovirus. If you know what that is, it's bad.
It's when you can't stop reading novels by Nora Roberts.
And there's a lot of them.
Yeah.
Isn't she the one that did like the letters A to B or A to Z? Or is that another one?
I think that's another author.
Maybe that's James Patterson.
No, it was a woman. And she died before she got to the end.
Oh, dang it. But anyways, we're here. We've survived. And it's been very wet and moist. So we're inside.
And so very humid.
Be a lot less plane noise at random intervals. And probably that's less barking dogs.
Yeah. Like, oh man, I had to come home from work last Friday because I had a sinus headache so bad it was making me feel nauseous. Like, just because of the way the weather has been changing and shit lately. And I got home and, like, I took some Nasonex and some Advil and then I just lay down.
We're all old.
Yeah, yeah. But, yeah, my allergies hammered me pretty bad.
I know everybody's work has been bitchy about their allergies, so.
It's springtime in Texas and winter for Australia and wherever else.
Probably fall there.
Yeah, yeah.
It's heading for winter.
Heading for winter, yeah.
It's so weird when I lived there, because I've had summer birthdays my entire life. So I did summer things like cookouts and swimming and all this other stuff. And then it's the middle of goddamn winter over there. And it's like, oh, I can't do most of the stuff I've done my entire life. Oh.
I feel really ignorant asking this because I don't know a whole lot about Australia. But did it snow? Is there snow there?
Yes. In fact, as far south as Sydney is, when you get up to higher elevations, you would get some snow, but not a ton. And there is some further south, like down towards Melbourne, that might get more. But Sydney, you get a little bit of snow higher up.
So maybe Tasmania gets it a little?
I don't know.
That's a good question. Because, I mean, yeah, we all think, oh, it's the bottom of the map. Wait, no, it's not. It's near the Antarctic. Oh, no.
Yeah, they have, they're the other side of things.
Dreaming of a white Christmas in July.
Well, they could totally have one.
I mean, they would do for Christmas what we do for 4th of July. Cookouts and all that stuff.
Yep. When I lived in Florida, we also did cookouts for Christmas. Because we had like 90 degree humid days sometimes in December.
I could see that.
Yeah, it was wild. My stepfather would call up his dad up in New England and be like, hey, I'm in my shorts barbecuing, you know, just to be a dick to him. Because, you know, they had like feet of snow north. I'm also very chill right now because this shisha is quite strong.
Yeah, well, just remember to talk into the mic, Fuzz. It's okay. Don't get too chill.
I'm afraid of the mic. That's why I look away from it when I talk. I feel like it's watching me.
This isn't that kind of stuff. It doesn't make you paranoid.
Right. Oh, speaking of that kind of stuff.
Yeah, so, tell your train anecdote, Fuzz.
Okay, so yeah, so I tweeted this. So I'm sitting on the train, and like it's a fairly quiet ride for most of the journey. And then somebody sits behind me, and I don't turn and look or anything, right? But this dude starts has two back-to-back phone calls on his cell phone, quite loud, talking about how he was totally going to go home and have some edibles and chill out. He's like, I used to smoke, but man, now I just chill out with some milk and cookies. It's going to be awesome. And then he went on to like a whole other conversation with a different person. And like, so I tweeted two things he actually said. One of them is this week's episode title, Never Be Afraid to Be Mediocre. I was like, that's some wisdom, man. But he said, the stuff I know, good God, I'm a stoner. You know how much weed I had to smoke to learn this stuff? And I guess he was talking like he knew all these truths of the universe or some shit that you can only discover when you're
high as shit.
Wow. But like, here's the thing is that weed's illegal in Texas, and there are cops on the train all the time, like checking fares and stuff. And there's apparently, they say that there's undercover cops on the trains too, just watching out for shit. So I would not be having a loud conversation about illegal activity on public transit. You
know? That's because you're smart and you haven't smoked so much weed, you're now all the way to dumb.
Yeah, I think that's probably what happened to this guy is that, you know, because that's the truth of the world, man. I had to smoke so much weed. And it's like, dude, simmer down, you know. But yeah, that was my train anecdote. Normally, you know, and I got a couple of responses that are like, oh, wow, the train sounds crazy. And it's like, I've been riding it for over 10 years and like, I haven't seen too much crazy shit. Crazy things happen occasionally, but I'm not like one of my coworkers. One of my coworkers, like, every time she fucking rode the train, like, every other day, she would post on Facebook, you know, so here's my train story for today. This crazy shit happened, and, you know, this guy was bodily thrown off the train by three other men because he was harassing a woman. You know, that was one of her stories. They're like, oh, Mockingbird Station, they just threw his ass out of the train.
Nice.
Yeah, but like, I hadn't seen anything really wild like that, you know.
The trains in Dallas are not that wild, really.
Yeah.
Like, there's not that much going on.
Yeah, there's the, you know,
there's the people asking for change and the people, like, who went to Harry Hines and are like, yo, you need some socks.
You know, the thing is, though, is that there's...
Sometimes you might need some socks.
You're not allowed to panhandle on the train. And funny enough, most people respect that. Like, people will panhandle a lot at the train stations downtown, but on the actual train, it is really rare. And it seems like in Dallas, it's like sort of a social faux pas where people are like, nah, man, you're not supposed to be doing that on here. And I guess maybe it's the police presence or something. I don't know. But generally, we don't get panhandling on the train. I will see homeless people like curled up on the train seat sleeping sometimes, you know, when the fare checker like is checking for tickets, they pull out like five of them that they've just like picked up that people have thrown away or whatever. Like, one of these has got to be good, and he usually is. So they're like, okay, and then they keep an eye on them. But usually people aren't any kind of problem, you know. One time I found I actually took a picture of this. I was sitting on a train and the seat in front of me was empty. But there was a wig and a jacket, and like across the aisle on that same row, there was like other clothes sitting there. And I was just like, man, Thanos snapped and
just got one.
People just vanished and left their clothes and shit. And I was like, oh man, someone's wig got snatched. You know, is what it looked like.
The rapture happened and it was just those two people.
Yeah. I think I tweeted the Langoliers are on this thing. You know?
Oh, no.
We go through the time rift and all your clothes, indentures and shit stay behind. But yeah, that was weird. I don't know why you would leave your wig in a bag and shit like that. But
hey, you might have been too inebriated. Who knows?
Maybe. So,
we have a lot of topics this week, and we're going to start with some of the lighter stuff first because it's not been a good news week in a lot of ways. There's like one big meta glob of topics, which is like three topics in one meta topic. And there's been other important things like the Sonic the Hedgehog movie trailer reveal. That's silly and light.
You want to talk about that?
That, and then also the thing about Tumblr.
Yes.
We'll start with the Sonic the Hedgehog.
All right.
So, Sonic the Hedgehog, Fuzz.
Okay, so I'm not deeply invested in this franchise. Like, I played, like, the first game a little bit. And I saw the trailer, and I thought the trailer as a movie trailer was actually pretty good. Like, and I think Jim Carrey's going to do a good job with playing Robotnik. But yeah, we'd seen the design for Sonic for a while, and it didn't get any better seeing him in motion. So yeah, the design is kind of blah, and it, of course, it's way off model from what Sonic fans are used to. And it's like, why didn't they just CG the fucking character from the video games? I mean, he has an iconic design, and they did, like, there's a couple decisions that just didn't make any sense. Like, they changed the design of his shoes, which are apparently so iconic that they once made, like, a special edition shoe based on Sonic's shoes. So it's like, so why would you change his shoes? Those are, like, a big thing. And also turning his paws into white hands when the character is wearing white gloves, like a more traditional, like, cartoon character kind of design. Just making them these weird human-shaped hands with white fur. It just looks...
weird floppy fingers.
Yeah, it just looks really strange. But anyway, I can tell you're champing at the bit, so...
I had this epiphany here in just a second. So, very obvious that Jim Carrey is going to steal the movie.
Yeah.
Turns out, it sucks that he's an anti-vaxxer, which didn't know that.
Oh,
but
yeah, I forgot about that.
Yeah,
I knew, like, that like a few years ago when he kind of dropped off the map, and I was sort of like, well, I guess won't hear from that guy anymore. But yeah, he is.
So that's a real unfortunate thing. But he's also channeling, his acting in the trailer is a combo of Olaf from A Series of Unfortunate Events. Not the Netflix series, but the movie
that he was in, yeah.
And then the Riddler.
Oh, I was going to say part Ace Ventura.
A little bit of that, too.
Yeah.
But he has, like, the little head tilt and the finger thing, and where he's telling fucking Damien Dark to go fuck himself. Because the actor there...
Yeah, somebody pointed that out. They're like, I go from being a world-dominating demigoblin to putting up with this shit.
Yeah. I mean, he was on 3 different cape shows. He died once, was resurrected. His alternate history version showed up. Then it was like host to a demon. His character went through a lot of stuff. And even then, it's not quite as undignified as being a military goon in Sonic the Hedgehog. It's... ugh, I felt really bad because he looks at the camera like, ugh, can you believe this? And that's where I screen capped it and was like, I was wrong. This is bad.
They told me this would be a career-making movie.
Well, because, like, he has the crazy robots. He has the egg-shaped things. Like, it's very much, I'm sure he might yell, I catch that hedgehog, you know, like, from the old cartoons. Like, they should have had Jaleel White as the voice for Sonic.
Yeah, because he does them in the animated version.
Yeah.
And in the fan-made film.
Yes.
It's Jaleel White's voice.
You know, they should have gone with him. And so, like, there's a million different ways. And it was also really funny, too, because the character, the cop guy, he's the same guy who played... he was a character in Westworld, but he was also in the movie Hop.
Oh.
So it's like... another one of those where CG animal comes into the real world type movies. And so there's a screenshot that was like him sitting in the car next to this bunny. And the bunny at least is wearing his seatbelt. Then, you know, those who do not remember the past are doomed to repeat it. Same guy, just, you know, 8 years older or whatever. And then Sonic sitting in the seat next to him. But Sonic's also not wearing his seatbelt. That's not safe. You should wear your seatbelts, kid. This has been a PSA. They show, like, half a second of Robotnik looking Robotnik-y at the tail end of the trailer, but...
yeah, like, clearly he goes through some kind of transformation.
Loses his hair, his mustache gets all frazzled.
Yeah.
The other thing...
And people are also talking about they took a round character and they cast a skinny guy to play him.
Yeah.
And not in a fat suit or anything.
I mean, he's always been this roundish egg man.
Mm-hmm.
And even the American cartoon Adventures of Sonic the Hedgehog, he was this dumpy fat dude with his robot chicken and the robot drillbot scratch and grounder. I can't believe I remember that. God, what data is not in my head because I have that memory. Yeah, it's disappointing. And now they're also saying they're going to be doing, I guess, re-edits, which it doesn't quite work that way. You can't just replace the model in the film. It's not like replacing a model in a video game. Mm-hmm. Like, they're going to have to re-render all this stuff. And so I don't know how they're going to say they're going to fix it, which they might be just blowing smoke.
Yeah.
And also have the movie out in time for its release date.
Yeah, because I'm pretty sure they're not going to change the release date, because that is usually box office death for a movie, and people generally write it off as, oh, it must have been really bad because they pushed it back.
I mean, this is
just live, even just regular live action movies. If they have to retool something because it tested really badly with test audiences, when they change release date, that's usually a super bad sign. So they're going to do everything they can to avoid that happening. But, you know, like has been pointed out a lot on Twitter, this is like video game crunch time. They're basically devs, the CG guys that are going to be going in and fixing this character. So that could be like a lot of overtime and it's going to be the crunch time thing. And apparently that happens anyway in movies that have CG effects. They go into crunch mode and have people working 100-hour weeks and shit like that. And I saw one tweet that was like, okay, we'll allow this on the condition that the animators get to unionize.
You know, I need a super realistic dong between his legs. They need to give him shorts, but then also a realistic bulge.
That's what fan art's for.
Yeah. Well, I just posted a thing in the Southpaws fan chat that was somebody's render of Sonic, and he has shorts.
Yeah.
Like, and a bulge. It was actually kind of like, see, that would be fine.
So this tweet from Pixelated Boat: Sonic the Hedgehog director promises the character design will be changed to give Sonic, quote, the meaty hog his fans deserve, unquote.
Oh, that's not the right thing to put in the chat. Well, I mean, it could be, but it's a porn I just threw into the fan chat, too.
Oh, okay. I was like, render. Was it a picture of your meaty hog?
No.
But you'd CG'd it blue with, like hedgehog fins?
And little spikes, nubbins.
You're like, gotta fuck fast.
God. So, it was really cute. Speaking of Sonic the Hedgehogs, I'm playing a bunch of Final Fantasy XIV right now, and somebody came up with a glamour for Lalafell that makes them into a little Sonic the Hedgehog. It is the cutest shit. It's like blue tights, red shoes, a little werewolf body, and then a spiky haircut. And you're this little blue run fast guy. Uh-huh. And you know, it's perfect for the tank that never wants to stop. God damn it, tanks. Give me a second. I need mana. Anyways, the other light thing is that, hey, Verizon realizes they've squandered everything. And wants to sell Tumblr.
Yeah. Well, to be fair, that wasn't entirely Verizon's fault, because they didn't buy Tumblr. Yahoo bought Tumblr. Then Verizon bought Yahoo and AOL. So they got all these digital assets that they combined under one name. And now they're kind of looking at it like, oh, let's see what all we own from this grab bag of AOL and Yahoo that we bought. And they're like, huh, well, here's a gigantic money loser right here.
This is just a black hole of money. Okay, well, how can we try to resurrect this? I know, we need to get some advertising on here.
Yeah.
Well, to do that, we need to ban the porn. They did that and then failed to do that. And they didn't ban the Nazis. And yeah, here we are, not quite 6 months on to them banning the porn. And their
traffic is fucking gone. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, last time we talked about this, they were down by like a full third.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, oh, well, you know, a third of traffic. That's actually a lot. I mean, that's in the millions of page views.
Yeah.
Where there are hundreds of millions of page views. The people are just not looking at the website anymore. They deleted their account. I deleted mine. There's no reason to use it. We don't use the Tumblr anymore, really.
Yeah, the episode's auto-post there, so, you know, people are following us there. That's cool. But yeah, you don't have to touch it. It's all automatically done. I had not used Tumblr in a long time. I had just stopped looking at it. And then when this happened, I was just kind of like, you know, a lot of people are deleting it, and it's like, it'd be one less social media account I have to even think about, so I just deleted mine.
Yeah, I mean, I deleted mine with, like, a bunch of years of content, but it wasn't worth dealing with it, because I went to Tumblr for the porn.
Yeah.
I liked seeing porn reblogged across my dash, look at my, and going down, you know, deep dives and finding all these new artists that did stuff I liked. And that went away. And while there's very many skilled artists on Tumblr or whatever, I'm not going there for that. Mm-hmm. So I deleted my account and haven't thought about it for months until this crossed my Twitter dash today, and I was like, oh, that's really surprising.
It came up twice. First was Verizon is looking to sell Tumblr because it's not making any money, followed immediately by Pornhub is looking into acquiring Tumblr and returning it to its former glory.
That could be nice, but it could also just be they would have to moderate the website. Like, that's the thing.
Yeah, because part of the reason this became an issue was when Apple pulled their app from the App Store because there were reports of people posting child pornography on it, which it's totally legit to fucking get rid of child porn and to moderate for that shit. But it's like they overreacted when Apple pulled them. They were like, oh shit, we got to get rid of all the porn.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, no, just the illegal shit, you idiots, but... You know, they went, that's where they went with it, so.
I don't think that if they do bring it back under their control and bring back the porn, I mean, I could see a lot of people that went to places like Newgrounds and the like that are not really well suited for posting art and having proper social links to come back to it.
But yeah, I honestly I don't know, because I barely ever looked at Newgrounds, but like Newgrounds was apparently really stepping up when Tumblr, like, they were putting out posts saying, hey, come check us out, we're good for this shit.
Yeah, well, I mean, they basically stepped up to be a place that you could post art that wasn't Japanese, like Pixiv or furry. So, you know, art gallery websites, and DeviantArt doesn't allow adult stuff either.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you can have nudes, but they're real limited as to what type of nudity you can show. Mm-hmm. You can draw your naked furries, but that's...
I guess, what is the line, like, penetrative? You can't draw penetrative sex?
No, you just draw nudes, like, no erect dicks and stuff like that. Like, they're pretty strict.
But they make exceptions for stuff like, what's that one comic, Sunstone, I think it's called? That has erect dicks, I'm pretty sure. I'm sure I've seen some panels that do.
But they have limits to what they allow. So, Newgrounds, I guess, was the spot that wasn't furry, wasn't Japanese. Though there's lots of U.S. artists and international artists that use Pixiv because they have relaxed rules on certain things.
Uh-huh.
But they still have, like, the weird, you gotta blur the genitalia thing.
Mm-hmm.
So if you want to post the uncensored version, you have to post it to, like, Imgur and hope it doesn't get noticed and blocked. You know, like, it's made people have to do a lot of extra steps to post their stuff, whatever.
Imgur doesn't seem like a site to build an audience.
It certainly isn't. It's a place to stash stuff, but that's about it. It'll be interesting to see what unfolds the next little bit because, like, Yahoo spent this huge amount of money on Tumblr.
$11 billion?
And then devalued it to well under $100 million.
Yeah. When I heard how much they sold it for, I was like, you gotta be shitting me. There's no way that website is worth that much. Then again, I don't think Facebook is actually worth what they say it is either. So.
Oh, no. It's all fake. Once it is my theory that basically numbers past a certain point are fake and meaningless to the common person. It's all like the computers understand this, but a mind cannot fathom $100 billion, essentially.
God.
It's like, if I had $100 billion, what would I do? Oh, God, you know?
Yeah. And I like to think I have a lot of ideas for what I'd do with that kind of money, but my creativity would probably run out maybe within the first billion, you know, short of just being like $50 billion to solve this problem that I think needs solving.
Yeah. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm certainly, hey, if you're a local billionaire and want to pass $1 billion off to somebody else.
Shit. Yeah.
Or, you know,
I'll take
problems.
It. You know, I'm totally up for a fucking Brewster's Millions type challenge if someone wants to send that my way.
Fuzz's billion.
Yeah. I'll fucking podcast about what I spend it on.
Yay.
Come on, Warren Buffett. Shoot me $1 billion, you know.
You're good for it.
Yeah. And I'll be like, you know, you should buy shit that Berkshire Hathaway sells.
Shill, shill, shill.
Yeah, shill, shill, shill.
We do have one, a kind of sad topic, or sad news bit that came out today. Peter Mayhew died.
Yeah.
The actor, original actor for Chewbacca.
Yep. I believe still, well, wasn't he still the actor for Chewbacca?
No. I think in the more recent films, it's not been him because Peter Mayhew, because of his height, had all sorts of back issues and basically couldn't walk in his later years. Like, I'm trying to get the image to load.
I think he was in the prequels.
Yeah, he was in the prequels.
But he was 74. And people were saying that, yeah, like, very, very tall people sometimes don't live that long. So I guess, I mean, that 74 is a natural lifespan, pretty much. So, I mean, he did really well.
I mean, average lifespan is 70, isn't it?
78 is the average, and I think 79 for women. It's something like that. It's lower in America than elsewhere.
Actually, according to this statement that his estate put out, he was a Chewbacca in The Force Awakens. But
I was sure he was still in the later ones.
But he consulted in The Last Jedi to train his successor. And his successor was on stage when they did the announcement for Rise of the Skywalker.
Yeah.
I had to, like, think about
the Rise of Skywalker, I think.
Whatever.
I think it is.
Star Wars 9.
Yeah.
But that's sad because I've seen him at cons local many, many times because he was based here in Dallas. And so,
yeah, he did a con like every year.
Yeah, just because it was down the street. He's like, yeah, sure, I'll show up.
Yeah.
Sign autographs, take photos with people. Mm-hmm. It's like, all right, you have to come over here because I ain't standing up. Because previously he'd been like wheelchair bound and stuff. So he'd had some lot of health issues.
Oh, I didn't know that.
But, I mean, he had a good long life and made a really good acting career out of never having to say words.
He also, like the post that his family put out, talked about how he'd, you know, he had lifelong friendships with the cast of Star Wars and how he'd made so many friends through the fan community and been able to make such a difference, and that meant a lot to him. And there is actually a Peter Mayhew Foundation that the family has requested, in lieu of flowers or anything, that people make donations to the foundation so that
That's they can cool.
continue to work. And his wife is that basically leadership of the foundation is passed to his wife, so she's going to continue it. So that's cool also.
So, shifting topics to the more serious stuff,
Well,
if we're going to go with the lighter of the two precursor things, because there's two bits, and then the third bit, and it all becomes one large, squishy bit of badness. So, nothing quite like Sonic Fox feuding with British parliamentarians to make the weekend amusing.
Mm-hmm.
So, fill me in on this.
All right. So, we all know Sonic Fox.
We do.
Queer hero that he is.
Mm-hmm.
Big gay furry.
Our furry president.
He posted a video clip to Twitter.com of him performing enhanced X-ray attacks with Garrus, neck-snapping Sonya Blade in Mortal Kombat 11. He was just like, turf! Because he just, like, teleports and neck-chops her, and the character goes, ah! And, you know, you see the vertebra breaking in her neck. Mm-hmm. And then she stands up because it's Mortal Kombat.
We should also add in the detail that her voice actress is a TERF.
The voice actress for Sonya Blade in this particular game is Ronda Rousey. Ronda Rousey, the MMA, WWE star, Sandy Hook truther, and TERF.
Jeez.
So she's this big bundle of toxic masculinity in a weird way.
Uh-huh.
And, like, in the current WWE storyline where Becky Lynch, she's the one who's, like, the plucky Irish steampunk-themed lady wrestler who is the current queen of the heap in the women's division and, like, won the Royal Rumble and all that fun stuff. But she's gone by the moniker of, yeah, I'm the man. And so Rousey's been kind of snippy and gross about that. Uh-huh. And basically Sonic Fox posted this video, threw it off into the void, and nothing happened until some shitty people found it and started whining and whining and whining and whining. And it became this big, long deal where, you know, these uninformed UK TERFs are all like, oh, this man made this video game. He must be this sad, lonely white boy in the basement. Then, oh, he bet his mom has to clean his cum-covered fursuit every week or something like that. Just making all these completely unfounded claims without actually looking at who the person is.
Yeah.
Then basically got all the usual suspects involved, like Glenner and various other folks. So he did get a 12-hour, like, timeout and sent to the sin bin for that length of time. And then he came back and was like, hey, guess what? You know, I'm going to go to the mat for my trans friends. Fuck you guys. He's been tweeting about it a lot because it is, you know, it really raises his profile in a way because, you know, he's a verified person. He's this very well-known gamer. And he's like, yeah, you know, trans right. And being very vocal in going against these people in power. I mean, he's not a person with a lot of power. He's just a nerd that plays video games really well. He's this twiggy little guy. And, you know, if Ronda Rousey wanted to, she could break him in half in real life. And so it's not like he's promoting violence against women. He's playing a video game and expressing his opinion on Rousey's crappy everything, really. Like, her voice acting in the game is really bad, too. This is why you don't get the random meatheads to do voice acting, you actual actors, because her previous voice actress was the woman I think who played Starbuck on Battlestar Galactica.
Oh, okay. Kate Sackhoff.
Yeah, I think that was her. And so in the last two games, it'd been somebody else. In this last one, they changed her VA because there was an actual reason to do that, but it was the actor they chose was bad. Hmm. And so it turned into this Twitter feud. And I would say feud. And like there's these all these people that I already have a ton of them blocked. And a bunch of furries just clowning on people and posting like shut the fuck up turf pictures of Lily from Zombieland Saga holding a gun. And, you know, you're cranky because you're transphobic and all these memes at people. And it culminated with this MP, the Scottish MP in Parliament, whining about how dare these terrible men treat us so badly. And they had a printout of the picture of the meme of Lily from Zombieland Saga holding a gun that said, shut the fuck up, turf. And, you know, I didn't ever expect to see that kind of thing. You know, it's meme warfare in the modern world where, you know, you have people in Congress. I mean, we have stupid memes like President Orange Man with the Game of Thrones font where HBO was like, can you stop doing that? No, seriously.
Oh, and side quest on that note, right wingers made a meme, an anti-socialism meme, I think, with one of the actors from Game of Thrones. And the actor quote tweeted, it was like, fucking no.
I don't condone this.
Yeah, that's what he said. I don't condone this.
So we have Sonic Fox out there being a king, being pro-gay, being pro-trans, being extremely good. Like, he won some inaugural tournament for Mortal Kombat 11 in his fursuit again, and he's been to next level.
Hasn't that game been out for like a fucking week and he's already?
Yeah, I mean, he got it early. So, I mean, a lot of the pro streamers and gamers get it early so they can practice for the opening weekend stuff.
Right.
And he was like, because he's a NetherRealm gaming champion, like he's won stuff from Mortal Kombat 9 and 10 and Injustice 1 and Injustice 2, he's really good at their particular fighting games. He was invited there for the Invitational and he won.
Sweet.
And then he's been to Next Level Battle Circuit the last couple weeks in a row and won that twice in a row, which Next Level Battle Circuit is a weekly small tournament in New York City that Team Spooky runs. And so he's out there kicking ass and taking names and also like slap fighting with the British government. It's hilarious.
He's but like, yeah, I got time to do this.
He's like telling Siri to dictate his tweets while he's performing fatalities. It's like, I gotta rip this person in half horizontally, but I'm going to talk about running back from my 12-hour suspension in the process.
I believe Twitter is suspending people for saying turf. Like, fuck that.
They have this idea that it's somehow a slur when it's directly a self-chosen moniker that they developed back in the day. Like, it's trans-exclusionary radical feminist. It's what it says on the tin. They're second-wave radical feminists who don't believe trans women are women. They don't believe they're legit they have horrible slurs that they say for them, and they're all over the UK press, like more so than the US. Like, they're all over the US too, but they're super bad in the UK. That they've got this thing into their idea that this like legit descriptor for them is somehow a slur. That'd be like someone claiming that calling a white supremacist is a slur against them, you know? Just because they believe the white race is the superior race on the face of the earth and all others should die, calling them a white supremacist is a slur, you know?
And they're also saying stuff like, why is white nationalism considered a bad thing? Yeah. It's like, we should be proud to be nationalists. It's like, no, no. There's a difference between patriotism and nationalism. And nationalism is not good.
The whole thing with Sonic Fox 2 is that things like Trans Lifeline UK and Trans Lifeline US, I mean, those are getting a lot of support because they're generally very underfunded. Like right this weekend, Waypoint is doing a 96-hour stream for that called Save Point, which is going for Trans Lifeline US. Like when H Bomber Guy did his mega stream, he did it for Mermaid's Gender, which is a trans youth support group in the UK. And Sonic Fox has said that he's on board with possibly doing a similar mega stream for some trans charity with Casey Explosion and Sloth Mom, who helped do a lot of H Bomb stuff. So it's like getting the gang back together.
Who is also a furry.
Yep.
Like, it's so cool that some of these really big pro-trans streams and charity fundraising things are being spearheaded by furries. That's pretty awesome. And also, like, you know, there's been that push from the right that, like, LGBT should drop the T. So I feel that it's very important to see a gay man being so pro-trans rights. You know, I think he's definitely doing the whole community a solid by taking that position.
It's important for, you know, we're queer to all whatever flavor queer we are, but we're still a much larger cohort than the average number of trans people. And so they're part of this community, and it falls to us to also advocate for them.
Yeah.
You know,
and not let the folks who'd rather edge them out do so.
Yeah, because that's a wedge document. That's the idea. You know, they tried
divide and conquer.
It literally is
a fucking colonizing strategy. You know, that's what colonists did in Africa. You know, and that's what they're trying to do now. They're trying to split our union up so that trans people, of whom there are far fewer, are on their own and can be attacked more easily.
I mean, it's bad enough that we have mass reporting groups and people doing harassment against trans people all the time on Twitter. Sloth Mom, Case Explosion, she's done a couple threads on this today because, you know, Twitter refuses to protect them, and that these online TERFs have mass reporting groups that they will just hammer the system until it goes, oh, well, I'm getting enough reports, it has to be bad, and nuking people. I got a 12-hour sin bin visit for, you know, be good, have fun, fire TERFs into the sun. You know, that's clearly me advocating for violence because I'm going to build a giant fucking slingshot and fire them one at a time through the atmosphere into the sun. Now, they'll die before they reach outer space, but I'm going to do it.
Like,
you know, I'm going to trebuchet TERFs into the Pacific Ocean.
The only person who could say that and legitimately pull it off would be Elon Musk.
Yeah.
Because he owns a fucking rocket company. Anybody else says fire TERFs into the sun, that's not a threat that you can actually fulfill.
Yeah. So it's good. It's a shitty situation, though, that there's so many of them, and you just have to push back for them all the time. If it's memeing on them, if it's clowning on them, if it's trying to argue against them, you're probably not going to have a good time. And, like, all these people, like, oh, I'm this 53-year-old lesbian. I know what I'm talking about. And me replying, you're still an idiot in this front. And getting a bunch of likes, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, you might think your age impresses me, but that's not the case. You're just out of touch, old lady. How many times do we have to teach you this lesson?
Yeah. You could be out of touch at any age. And
I forget. What does TERF stand for?
Trans Exclusionary Radical Feminist. What we need are NERFs instead. Non-exclusionary radical feminists. Nerf or nothing.
Well, someone came up with calling them farts instead of TERFs. And I can't remember what farts as an acronym stood for.
Yeah, I don't remember either. But it's also, it was like, damn farts stinking up the place. Ha 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 ha.
Yeah.
But then the fart furries are like, no, but my thing!
My musk!
Oh no. No, they just have to be musky furries. Or musky huskies. And that ties into the next thing also. Caster Semenya is a South African runner.
Yes.
She is...
an Olympian.
An Olympian, has won it twice, has won all these awards. She is a peak specimen of humanity.
Mm-hmm.
And very, very, very athletic, very tall, very, very fast.
Mm-hmm.
And for the past decade...
she's like Sonic, except not blue and tall.
Well, probably not the fastest thing alive. She's up there. And she's also...
so she doesn't hit 750 miles per hour, which, you know,
she doesn't,
Sonic
like,
does.
Knock out the power for the Pacific Northwest and kill 52 babies. But she is an Olympian, a runner, and she's intersex, which is just humanity's weird. Our bodies are not one size fits all, and not everybody has the same configuration.
Yeah. And biology is prone to variation.
Yes. Is that a Doctor Who thing?
No, I just said that.
Okay.
Yeah.
I was going to say, that sounds like
it
a
sounds
line
like
that,
a Doctor Who thing.
Yeah.
Oh.
Where the doctor's just like, it's an alien. Biology's prone. Anyways.
I can see there is also, there's the Star Trek IDIC, Infinite Diversity and Infinite Combinations. It's a Vulcan aphorism.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. So there we go.
Yeah.
She's intersex and produces a lot more testosterone than the average runner. And for the past decade, she has been the target of some shitty white women and the governmental body of the racing to basically force her to take hormone replacement therapy or hormone blockers.
To reduce, or what's the opposite of a performance enhancing?
Performance reducing drug.
Yeah, they're forcing her to take
a handicap. Because often when they, like, racehorses will be forced to carry extra weight to, like, make, you know, races closer, it'll be a handicap.
And, like, I'm sorry, but I detect the musty stank of racism in this equation. Because, like, you look at the way Serena Williams has been treated,
mm-hmm.
and then you look at the way this woman is being treated, and it was all because of these, like, three white women who all came in around the same place in this race, and they're all hugging and crying because, oh, we're so filled with emotion because of how unfair it was. And you know what it is? It's just a black woman beat me, and I can't deal with that. You know, so, that's all it fucking comes down to. And she's also a lesbian, which, sorry, I'm stealing some of your story.
No, it's fine.
Again, she's also a lesbian, so you can throw homophobia in there, and this is not a one-shot thing. She's been hounded since, what was it,
a decade?
A decade, basically.
I think since, like, Rio.
Yeah, it's just fucked up. And some of the comparisons that I've seen is, they're like, so Michael Phelps, the multi-Olympic medalist
swimmer,
has apparently a genetic advantage in that, I guess it's like the width of his shoulders are very broad or something, slightly more than the average man, and that gives him an advantage in, like, the butterfly swimming or something. And, you know, all the, of course, he's a white man, so all the commentary around him was glowing about, oh, he has this genetic advantage, he's just so amazing. And apparently Usain Bolt is very tall, and having longer legs would also give you an advantage as a runner. But he, you know, he's not forced to take some kind of drug to reduce his...
they don't put ankle weights on him.
Yeah, or anything to reduce his speed or stamina or anything. But, like, for her, this is just the way she is. She is literally running the way she was born. Okay, I mean, you know, she's a lot taller now than when she was born, but you know what I mean.
Just sprung forth, fully formed, and just zipped off.
Yeah, from her mother's forehead, just boof, and then zoom, just like a blue lightning streak.
Much like Sonic.
Yeah, exactly. That's how she and Usain Bolt, it was burst out of her mother's vaginas, just running full tilt. Anyway, but yeah, you know, she's not doping. You know, like Lance Armstrong or Barry Bonds or every other fucking athlete.
This is what her body naturally produces. This
right. And I'm sorry.
This is out of the box.
Yeah. If you can't outrun another person with your out-of-the-box system, even with all the working out and the training and everything like that, they're just faster than you. Sorry, you lost.
The only thing is that makes me wonder is, okay, she is intersex.
Yeah.
So has physical traits from both sexes. Mm-hmm. So because intersex, and I don't know what degree where the needle falls, she could just as viably race in men's races.
But they refuse to let her do that, too.
I know. I'm just saying. Yeah.
And the other thing that's crazy is that Fox News is classifying her as transgender.
And she's not.
And she's not. But they're trying to tap into the whole bathroom fear of transgender people. And that's just fucked up on a whole other level. So then you're dealing with the transphobia in addition to just dunking on this one racer.
I mean, you have the transphobia, you've got the homophobia, you've got
racism.
The racism because she's this, incredibly talented Black African, South African runner. Mm-hmm. You've got all these fantastic little isms that Fox News loves, and they've put in this one package of this woman. And
yeah.
Like, the other thing, you mentioned Michael Phelps. Apparently, he also has a genetic quirk that his body produces half the lactic acid
that a normal body can produce.
So right. that he gets tired at half the rate.
Which is, because again,
the buildup of lactic acid is what makes your muscles tired.
Ah.
So he's got his own genetic quirks. And I'm sure that other athletes, there's been hundreds of them throughout the ages where their body does something unique.
Right.
Hello, evolution and variability in the human race. Sometimes that's how the dice fall.
Mutants happen.
And there's probably been other high-performing intersex athletes, and maybe they fell more on one side of the genetic spectrum than the other, or they were white, so nobody looked too closely and nobody raised an issue.
It used to be back in the day that intersex, you came out and like, oh, something's a little bit weird, and they just take care of it in the hospital before you even go home.
Which is a whole other fucked up thing.
Yeah, it's a fucked up thing, but I mean, there are people who are intersex that didn't know that they were intersex until well into their lifetimes. And this was from stuff that was happening a while ago, like back in the 70s and 60s. And they're like, oh, and never mind, there's the other variant where you have the chromosomes and everything of a male, but you also are basically, your body ignores testosterone. And you do this from the time that you are conceived. So you have the physical form of a woman, but you are, genetically male.
Throws a real monkey wrench into the idea of all these people that are like, you'll always be genetically whatever, XXXY, and that's the only true definition of your gender.
Humans are fucking weird. Genetics.
There's also like the intersex variant where like you don't even know you're intersex until you're an adult and you're X-rayed because of your body appears male, you have the male genitalia, but hey, you also have ovaries, and you never knew until they had to do like a sonogram of your pelvis or something, and they're like, oh, well, you have ovaries and testicles.
Mm-hmm.
And you might be fucking 30 before you even figure that shit out.
And the thing is, there's no general way to test. They don't karyotype babies at birth, and the only times they catch this is like if the baby comes out and its junk looks weird, or something weird happens at puberty. And then the third way is generally only if they find out, like what you said, with a unrelated medical test where they go in and go, that's weird.
I wasn't expecting to see that.
It's like, do you know you have a uterus?
Yeah.
What?
Like, you could go in for, like, a bladder infection or kidney stone, and it'd be like, oh, you have a uterus.
Okay. Can we hook that up? That'd be interesting.
Just swap out the parts. Hey, can I donate that to someone with uterine cancer?
Yeah,
I don't know if they do that.
Can we repurpose that for someone? And even then, you look at the general, the way people's bodies are variant. I mean, like, you know, when I was a teen, it was suggested by one of my doctors that I had some like hormonal imbalance that never got checked out because we were poor and whatever. Like, I'm still kind of interested to find out later in life if there's some, like, weird hormonal thing that has, like, left an impression. Because, I mean, look at me. I got hips, I got tits, and it ain't just because I'm fat, so.
No, it'll turn out that you're a double Y, and they'll have to send you to that penal colony from Alien 3.
Oh, no. I've not seen Alien 3, so.
No, we stopped at Aliens, which a lot of people would say was a good thing. I'll have to show you Alien 3 sometime. Huh?
Maybe. But again, going back to the whole Caster Semenya thing, it's super fucked up because this is literally targeting one person for literally being too good.
For being themselves.
And the reason this is in the news now is that whatever ruling body that she appealed this decision to has basically said, nah, you're only allowed to compete in these particular women's races if you take testosterone blockers and get your T down below a certain level. So there's like a whole division of races that she's not allowed to race in. There's other races that she is allowed to race in because they don't do that. And I don't know all the details on that. It'll be in the article. I'll throw the link in the show notes. But, you know, this came out not in her favor. And a lot of people are rightfully pointing out that that's really fucked up.
And that boils down to our third topic that kind of glues all this together, that brings up the general transphobia and homophobia and general fuck anybody that isn't a white straight person.
Mm-hmm.
That the current regime has brought forth new rules today talking about conscience protections for doctors and nurses. And this is a very broad list of exceptions and, well, if you don't like them, you don't gotta save their life. It's a lot of different things where it covers everything from charities that do HIV prevention. Mm. They don't have to do things like distribute condoms or do anything like that. They don't have to serve gay people. Anything related to abortion services or things like related to assisted suicide. Or things about STDs. Like, there's this huge long range of, if the nurse decides they don't like you, they don't have to, and you're fucked.
Yeah.
And the government flat out admits that this is going to, there are five types of harm, this is from Boozy, that may result from us expanding the conscience rule today, as stated by comments on the proposed rule. They're not invalid. On the other hand, some folks may like that the doctor denying them care is a real stand-up guy. That's Boozy's tweet. And so it's like, different types of harm can result from denial of particular procedure based on an exercise of such belief or conviction. First, the patient's health might be harmed if an alternative is not readily found, depending on the condition. So, if you have some rare-ass disease but are also gay or trans or a woman, and the doctor is like, I don't treat your kind, well, you're fucked. Second, there may be search costs for finding an alternative because the doctor who ain't going to help you isn't going to help you find somebody who will. So,
yeah, the person that you do eventually find might be out of your network, which gives you more of an excuse for the insurance company to fuck you.
Or you have to have an unreasonable amount of travel, which is a huge issue with abortion clinics and women already.
Mm-hmm.
Because often, at least if you live in a podunk town, it can be several hours drive to get something done. Never mind housing while you're there. If you're in a limited market and your few options are morally opposed to this and you need help, this basically says you're fucked.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you're a person in a semi-rural area and you need an endocrinologist, be it for
diabetes
or hormones or anything like that, if your doctor doesn't like you, well, guess what? You're not getting an insulin prescription.
And particularly with the abortion thing, that's something they're really pushing here in Texas. And Texas is this massive, massive state with five cities and a whole lot of nothing for the other several thousand miles. So there's a lot of places that you can be living. And if you need an abortion, it's like, well,
I think there's like three clinics in all of Texas or so. Like,
better drive 6 hours to Dallas or something. And that really disadvantages people that are already disadvantaged. Like, you know, poor people, minorities. I mean, if you're a 16 or 17 year old girl and you're pregnant and you need an abortion, I mean, how the fuck are you gonna just be like, well, I'm gonna road trip, you know, 500 miles? Like, you, that's just not an option for you. And it's something like, I think Alabama tried to put a rule through that would basically reduce them to two facilities in the whole state that could do it. And I'm not sure how many it is in Texas. I think you're right. It's pretty low.
Like, they had to be, they instituted a rule a couple of years ago that forced a bunch of them to shut down, where they had to be, like, associated to, like, a major surgical center or something.
Yeah, they had to have admitting privileges at a hospital. And an abortion is an outpatient procedure, so you don't have to be in a hospital to have it. You can be in a clinic, like oftentimes a Planned Parenthood. But that doctor has to now have admitting privileges at a hospital, so they could do it at a clinic. But, you know, a lot of rural doctors, it's like, maybe they don't have admitting privileges at a hospital.
Or that's not a hospital.
Now, imagine if you are one of these doctors that has these privileges. And because the system is... So, doctors take on a wide variety of cases, right?
Right.
But imagine that you're one of the few that offers this. And you then have to go... And your mainstay then becomes doing this often very difficult and waste soul-crushing procedure because you're one of the three things in the states that has this.
Right.
If it was widely available, you might not be doing, like, them all be on your plate. You might get to practice more different medicine, but instead, because you are one of the three... Because it can't be easy. It's not easy on doctors and nurses that are in this. These are very unhappy things to do, whether it's by choice or even if, like, the baby is dying and you got to save the mother. It's soul-crushing for something to have to do, but if you're one of the few that has to do it, you got to think that the ratio that you have to do this goes up. It's got to be really hard on the doctors, too.
And on top of that, that's not even considering the fact that your patient has to often fight their way through a picket line of protesters outside of your clinic, you know, yelling horrible things at them.
And
they even just to being whether... there, like, they're always the ones outside the Planned Parenthood near the convention center in Pittsburgh. I always made sure to walk by them on the way to breakfast in the morning and say, fuck you. Like, go get a life, you old farts.
Yeah, I mean, I never, in all my trips to Planned Parenthood, I never ran into any of those. But they pigeonhole Planned Parenthood into this is what it does. And they do so much more.
Yeah,
much more.
It's some tiny percentage of what they do. A lot of it is free services for low-income women, like health screenings.
I mean, that's where I got my pills and my first gyno visits.
And, like, HPV vaccines and stuff
I got my testing, my vaccines. I got so much stuff from them in college that had nothing to do with getting an abortion.
Yeah, if they do pap smears and everything to you check for cancer and shit.
Yeah.
Oh, shit. I'm going to take it way off topic for a second. So, speaking of cancer, this is something that I want to link in the show notes also. Dixie Lioness, who is Fox and Pepper's agent, and she's also dating Fox, has been diagnosed with cervical cancer. And there is a GoFundMe up for her that was put together by Boosie's wife. And it's raising a pretty good amount of money. She was only asking for $6,000. So, of course, I encourage everyone to go and donate to the GoFundMe to help her out. Primarily, the GoFundMe money is to basically cover her needs the weeks after surgery when she's going to be recovering, because she'll be off work for like 3 weeks after the surgery. Here's the thing that really pisses me off about this, though. She is currently working double shifts to make enough while having cervical cancer, which... My mother had cervical cancer. It's very painful. So she's working twice as hard through the pain in order to save up enough money to cover her ass for the time that she is not going to be at work.
Damn.
That is fucking wrong in the quote-unquote greatest country in the world.
No shit.
You know? So I would love to see her GoFundMe double what they're asking, because she's done a lot in this fandom. She has spearheaded and boosted a lot of our charitable runs in the community, both at cons and online. Ed is just generally a good person. No one deserves to go through this kind of thing, and the fact that she's having to work extra hard during a time when she should just be chilling out and not overtaxing her body when it's trying to deal with this, it's just so fucked up, and it makes me so angry. So as a community, we all need to come together and support her. I think the GoFundMe did make like the whole $6,000 in like a day and a half. That's great. I want to see it do more, though. I donated to it. I encourage anyone with the means to donate to it, even if it's only a buck or two. There are enough good people in this community that we can really make a difference here. So Savern, please link that in the show notes. And
okay.
So that was a little off topic, but it was female problem related, I guess.
Yeah, I mean, it's completely valid. So going back to the five harms, I think we're on like the third one.
Okay.
Third, the patient may experience distress associated with not receiving the procedure he or she seeks. These three potential harms, however, would also be applicable for denials of care based on, example, inability to pay for the requested amount. So those first three, you know, it's like they don't have enough money. What's the big deal? Oh, capitalism. It's bad. Fourth, there may be a harm resulting from a conscientious objection to referring for a health service distinct from the harm of the initial objection to performing the service. So there's a harm if they refuse to do it, but also refuse to tell you someone who will. And fifth, some commentators allege that others in the community to which the patient belongs may be less willing to seek medical care. Which, if you are gay or trans or a woman with a particular issue or anything like that, you're going to be like, well, you know, this person's not going to take care of me. And that means that people that live in X area, I mean, if you think about it this way, it's a really way to essentially not medicate people out of existence. If you have a whole passel of medical people that refuse to treat gay people or trans people or whatever, you basically make an area unlivable because you don't have that protection. And that forces people to go to like emergency rooms as opposed to regular care, which even then, like, you could end up with some bigoted assholes.
Yeah.
I mean, obviously they're not going to be like, oh, this person's in the ER, you know, oh, well, go away. But, you know, you're basically locking people out from healthcare worse than our system already does. And basically any doctor that does this should lose their license and have to go be a janitor at a prison. I think that's fair.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Another anecdote related to this was shared by Buddy Goodboy on Twitter. He's one of our furry Twitter lawyers.
Uh-huh. I think he's a doctor.
Doctor. No, he's Buddy Goodboy Esquire. He's
I was thinking Doc Wolverine.
You're thinking Doc Wolverine, right.
We have our furry professional. Yeah. And I get them mixed up.
This is he tweeted that years ago he'd divulged that he was gay or was in a gay relationship to his doctor, and his doctor wrote it down that he participated in high risk sexual activity, and then he had to fucking deal with his insurance company with that on his chart, because I guess insurance company probably wanted to fuck him over, is basically blaming him for having high risk sexual behavior when it wasn't high risk. It was just gay. So it was just a homophobic doctor is just like, oh, gay sex? Oh, that's automatically high risk. It's like as if straight people can't also engage in high risk sexual activity. So, I mean, yeah, this shit happens. And this new proclamation from our doofus in chief is just going to make it easier. People are going to think that they have the legal backing to be like, oh, you're queer. I don't want to help you. And that's fucked up.
That is fucked up.
So that that's our big glommy, like, hey, it's a really scary time to be queer in this country. I mean, in general, it's never been great, but we have a current regime that is doing its damnedest to bring back the bad old days. And that's implying that this was ever really good for queer people, for marginalized folks.
Yeah.
So it ain't good, y'all. We say that all the time, but that's just us understating it. It's real bad.
Yeah, and I'm really sad to hear how widespread transphobia is in the UK. That's really depressing.
I had this
coming from the UK. I'm like, that's upsetting.
You know, and I had this thought. I mean, so much of our general disdain for anybody outside the norm. I mean, you could dial it back to like the Victorians and the conservative sensibilities, and you know, men do this and women do this. But I mean, you take it back a step further, and you know, and we're basically sticking to the dictates of a singularly unpleasant nomadic tribe that slaughtered enough people to found an area in the near Middle East 3,500 years ago. You know, we're still judging ourselves by the dictates of some goat herders, and it's just been brought forward all the way through. I mean, we're going against the ordained hierarchical order of society of God and men, then women, you know, and by being queer, by being trans, we're transgressing against their ordained thing. And even if we're not raised religious, you know, you're still steeped in the society where you have gender roles, where blue is boy and truck and football and pink is girl or laundry mistake. And so this is hardly some galaxy brain take that I came up with, but it's just like we have this system in place that just this is what our society teaches everybody from birth. You know, we joke about are the straights okay when they have their gender reveal parties that light entire forests on fire, or they put colored chalk in their tires, or when they do sick burnouts, it's a blue cloud or a pink cloud.
By the way, the burning a forest, not an exaggeration, that actually happened.
Yep.
During a gender reveal party.
Yeah. I mean, there was a...
Because nothing says welcoming your new baby into the world like explosives.
There was even a thing I think I mentioned recently where it was this people doing a gender reveal video for Instagram or whatever. I was walking at him and he was like, ooh, what's this? Because there's a bunch of people. And they had a bunch of little party crackers, little, you know, the cone things that shoot out confetti or whatever.
Uh-huh.
And they did it in the yard, and then they didn't pick their shit up.
Mm-hmm.
Like, they took the larger pieces, but they just left all the confetti and glitter and stuff on the grass. Like, come on, man.
So, I was just looking at Dixie's GoFundMe. Mm-hmm. And scrolling through and who's on there? Uncle Kage.
Well, that's cool.
Mm-hmm. I'm just seeing, like, names I recognize, and, like, Uncle Kage is on there, and a couple of others I know.
I left mine as a non. I just didn't put my name on it.
So,
but I did tweet it, so I wanted to get the word out.
But that was just my galaxy brain thought for the week. It's like we're weirdly controlled by dead fuckers from 3,500 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, that's very true. One thing I want to point out in your statement, though, no goat herder shaming, because goats are cool.
Goats are perfectly fine.
And cute.
And they're cute.
But I'm just saying.
That, I know. I understand.
You know, they were a semi-nomadic tribe that decided to get warlike, killed everybody around them, established their kingdom. You know, there's whole histories that they wrote themselves that indicate all the bullshit they got up to.
That's one of the most poisonous things in religion, is that whole man as head of the household, because this is where you get women conservatives from that really believe this shit, that vote against women's rights and are very anti-feminist because they believe that their husband is their master and they shouldn't have those rights. And it's like, to me, I'm like, that's crazy to vote against your own interests, but that's what religion has given them.
So that was just my thought today about all this transphobia nonsense. It's like
we're
putting people into rigid little boxes.
Mm-hmm. And I'm really glad that we're part of a community that is so much more trans inclusive than the larger world is. Because, like, apparently trans people are a very tiny minority. What's it, like 1%? Of the population or something like that.
Yeah.
If that's true, then I guess I know all of them because I know so many trans people, and that's got to be because of the fandom. Mm-hmm. And this is an accepting, not to be cliched about it, this is a safe space. And that's actually a good thing, you know, even though the right has tried to demonize that term. You know, furry is a safe space to find yourself, to explore a bit and figure out who you are and what you are. I think that's one of the strengths of our community.
I mean, if you can explore who you are in terms of your form and being like, do I want to be a kobold or a dragon or a wolf or a fox? You know, you can do the same thing and explore your gender expression mm-hmm. and identity. I mean, yes. It makes it really easy. So, yeah, I mean, the furry fandom is doing a good job there.
Yeah, and also just keep pushing out TERFs and Nazis and...
Yeah.
These fuckers.
Nazi furs and TERFs, fuck off. It's in my bio on Twitter.com. And that hasn't got me pinged yet. Give it time.
But I guess you're shadow banned or whatever. You're not showing up on searches or something.
Yeah, me and like every furry I know. Basically, furries en masse have been shadow banned from Twitter where we don't show up in searches. Like, if you're logged out or certain users, like, if you aren't connected, you don't show up in suggestions. You don't show up on the who to follow thing. Like, it's really weird. But you see these bot accounts where it's like they have a 1-to-1 follower ratio and whatnot. But then you have like me where I've been stuck in the same like 10 follower range for 6 months or more. And I know it's not because people aren't seeing my tweets. I've had a couple of really good tweets go out there the last few days, and I've gained nothing for it. I mean, yes, give me validation and head pats, but, you know, I'm not getting any new followers. I'm staying within this, like, narrow 10-follower range at all times. JD LeClade was complaining in the same vein, and, like, Junius from Barking Points, she was saying that she also got hit. Ash Coyote from... Ash and Chip were also furry filmmaker was also like mm-hmm. Ajax. I was, or basically it's like we have this one little bit of our Twitter presence just flags so that we don't show up to outside people, which is really weird.
It's really weird to me that Ajax is shadow banned because like he's not nearly as active on Twitter as you and I are, and I'm not. And I don't know how I missed that bullet.
You don't show up on the shadow ban at any of the four categories?
Nope.
Weird. I mean, good for you. But...
I guess. Maybe I'm not controversial enough.
Oh, well. You need to step it up, Fuzz.
I guess so.
All these other people that... Let me see. I'm looking myself.
Yeah, I just looked you up and you're still search banned.
Found me. Search suggestion ban. No search ban. No thread ban. But Twitter claims they do not shadow ban, says the website. So, I mean, yeah, I'm still locked out. Twitter, it's bad. And they've done this to, like, just so many random furries for whatever reason.
Yeah.
I wonder if, like, Dio is. No? She's completely fine. Pepper Cody. He's search suggested banned. So, there has to be some commonality.
Boozy is not.
So, if you search for Pepper Coyote, you can't find him?
If you're an unrelated, unlinked person, you're not going to have him show up in your search suggestions.
Hmm.
Like, you know, when you start typing somebody's at name and it, like, auto-suggests who it might be. A lot of times that's based on, like, who you're following. So, you know, if I'm following Pepper and I type at PE, it'll suggest, you know, do you mean Pepper Coyote? And then you just click it. But if you're not logged in... so it doesn't know who you follow and you do that, it won't autofill with that person's name, from what I understand, which I may be misunderstanding, but you know.
Well, I just did a search for Ash Coyote and now she's showing up as clean, but Junius is still showing up as a search suggestion ban like most everybody else. So Twitter's being weird with the furries. Like, they refuse to ban the Nazis because that would also ban Republicans, and they're randomly shadow banning furries. So it's a hell site. It sucks.
I mean, if the Twitter algorithm says you're a Nazi, you might want to fucking rethink your policies and the kinds of things that you're saying.
So that's been sort of that was a side thing. We're talking about the furries briefly. So
you know who's not shadow banned? Glinner.
Well, he's also verified for whatever reason.
Mm.
Like, he should be thrown into the...
Who's Glinner?
Graham Linehan. He's a UK turf, wrote a couple of okay things back in the 90s and never anything since. Turns out he's a massive transphobe.
Yeah, if I recall, he co-wrote IT Crowd. No, not IT Crowd.
No, IT Crowd.
Oh, IT Crowd, Little Britain, and Black Books. But we talked about this before. The other guy who was the real creative force on Black Books is like totally pro-trans.
Yeah. He was the genesis of H-Bomber Guy's megastream because he was the one trying to petition the British National Lottery or whatever to withdraw the grant that they'd given to Mermaids UK.
Yeah.
So he's a real shit.
Yep.
So I think we've kind of hit the end of our topics unless there's anything else that we haven't hit, Fuzz.
NRA CEO Wayne LaPierre charged the organization's ad agency more than $240,000 for expenses relating to trips he took to Italy, Hungary, the Bahamas, and other locales without providing adequate documentation. That is a report from the Wall Street Journal. So, oh wow, what a shock that the president of the NRA turned out to be grifting his own organization.
Well, also, Oliver North was forced out as well.
Yeah, so Tieran came up to me the other day, because I hadn't heard the news yet, and he's like, hey, hon, do you know who Oliver North is? And I was like, the Iran-Contra trials were on TV constantly when I was a kid. Yes, I know who Oliver North is. He's like, okay, good, I don't have to give you the backstory. And he's like, when your organization is so shady that Oliver North says, hey, this is a bad idea, then you really got to wonder how stable the ground you're standing on is, you know? Apparently, Oliver North left or got pushed out of the NRA because he pointed out to them that you guys shouldn't do this. This is super illegal. This is a guy who's done some super illegal shit. You know, this is like Dick Cheney telling you you're not a nice person.
Look, I committed a million war crimes and shot a guy hunting in the face and made him apologize to me, but whoa.
Yeah, pretty much.
So the other thing also is that Facebook and Instagram has banned a bunch of right-wing dipshits. Alex Jones, Paul Nellon, Miley Yannabanana, Paul Joseph Watson, Laura Loomer, InfoWars, and Louis Farrakhan were all banned from Facebook and Instagram. And nothing of value was lost.
Yeah.
Everyone's like, but Louis Farrakhan is black. Isn't that therefore he's left-wing? No. Nation of Islam is extremely weird, and the least controversial thing he believes is there was a giant UFO under Japan that makes mountain ranges.
But he's also, like, super homophobic or something like that.
You know, he's like a black nationalist separatist, weird right-winger dude who, just because he's black, doesn't make him, like, somehow left-wing.
Yeah. Like, Milo, what's his name, is gay. And yeah. That doesn't mean that he is some left-wing darling either.
Laura Loomer got banned from yet another platform, so she's going to have to go yell at Mike Zuckerberg outside of his house.
Was she the one that chained herself to the front of Twitter?
Yeah, and something? Then apparently the other night also showed up outside of the Jack Dorsey's house yelling in the darkness.
She should at least fucking show up on his lawn holding a boombox over her head like John Cusack.
Yeah, and have it play, you know, Careless Whisper or whatever.
I think it was a Peter Gabriel song.
She should just recreate that scene.
That scene, yeah.
Every night for the rest of Jack Dorsey's life. Because honestly, he sucks.
Yeah.
And like, so he needs any misery he can get. So there was the last little bit. I think we've hit everything.
Everything is shitty.
So you need to be nice to each other, okay? Do your damnedest to be nice to your fellow humans, your fellow furries. Be supportive of your queer family, every one of them, and fuck TERFs.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, the other thing I linked in here, because today is May the 2nd. So yesterday was May the 1st, also known as May Day. More formally known as International Workers' Day, which was it was established as a public holiday in a lot of parts of the world. And it is in celebration of the legal establishment of the 8-hour workday and for universal peace. And there's people in the right-wing America are calling it like the socialist communist holiday. And
yeah.
Ooh, scary words kind of thing. You know, and it's like, yeah, pro-worker holiday that's, you know. And what's funny is like all the, like this shit was established like decades ago, you know, a century ago. So everyone complaining about this has been benefiting from it. They have the 8-hour workday. They have paid overtime, which companies do their damnedest to try and get around and shit like that. You know, we're not working 16-hour shifts 7 days a week. Yeah, shit can get a lot better, definitely. But, like, those folks 100 years ago made huge strides to make our work experience a lot more tolerable than it would have been otherwise. So, yeah, I just wanted to shout that out. The whole May Day and the labor movement has a long and interesting history, and just check it out. But I think that's about all I've got. We got Furry Weekend Atlanta coming up in a couple weeks. So Fur Planet will have a table there. We'll be selling. Yay. Yeah. This week here in town is Texas Frightmare Weekend, which has quite a few people at it. Next weekend is Furry Weekend Atlanta, and the weekend after that is Biggest Little FurCon. So that is your 3-week convention calendar. Very abbreviated to only the cons I know about. So if you're going to any of those cons or have been to any con recently, you know, fuck it. Write us a con report. Apparently the first Golden State FurCon happened, which is the unofficial but really kind of is replacement for Califer. And apparently it went well. Some of the tweets I saw online were saying that things ran smoothly. So write in and tell us all about it. I'm interested to hear how that's going.
Mm-hmm.
You can write us emails at southpawscast@gmail.com. Sarah, did you have anything else you want to finish wrapping up here?
We'll just personal wrap up. Find me on Twitter at Savron Drake. Find me on Twitch at Savron. Find me on Snapchat online at Savron.
You can find the show on Twitter at SouthPawsCast, which we really need to use more.
Yeah.
You can send us anon asks or catch up on episodes on our Tumblr, which still exists, at southpawscast.tumblr.com. And if you want to support our crazy lefty furry shenanigans here, you could do so on Patreon at Southpaws. I was gonna say southpawscast.com/Patreon. That's not a thing. The other way around, patreon.com/southpawscast. Personally, you can find me on Twitter at Fuzzwolf, where I spend way too much of my time and should really cut back. And you can find updates about what I'm doing on the business side of things. Twitter accounts at Fur Planet and at Bad Dog Books. I've recently added a bunch of new stuff to Bad Dog Books from some of our other fandom publishers, particularly Goal Publications. I've added like 4 or 5 ebooks from them recently. So check them out. We've added some super cheap books too. We have a couple of ebooks that are like novella size that are only $2. So if you want to check out some new stuff, there it is, baddogbooks.com.
You can find me on Telegram as Chimera, K-H-Y-M-A-E-R-A. That's the best place to find me. And
apart from here.
Apart from
yep.
here.
Yep.
And I mean, I live here.
Yeah.
So to wrap things up for this episode, because this is going to be a long one and require me to do a lot of editing, but that's fine because Panther has changes in the morning and it had to be up anyway, so make sure he is up. It's our first month, so shout outs for our followers on patreon.com. We should change a tier around to just kind of steal the idea from Barking Points to have shout outs. It's people to do it that way. Sorry, Barking Points, for stealing some ideas. But first of all, I will say thanks to Kylie Rogue. She has given us so much money. It's so nice. Jag Taggart, Shadow D Wolf, Bear Lion, I think that's Luther, Horchathot, William, Tilton, Raccoon, Bannon Carey, Pinarium, Piper Malone, Mad as a March Hare. They are new this month, so thank you very much. Rillin, Mogu, Linear Screw, Alan, Zirian, Paul, Jared, At, Brandon, Curon, Oren, and Omnibus, Rieda, I'm sorry, Rydia. Yes, Rydia? Rydia?
You're not cutting that. You gotta leave
no,
that
No, I'm not. I'm so sorry. I just can never say your name. They're a dragon friend, I think. Anyways, Greg, Mirror Snowmew, Graith, Mogmoogle, Day One DLC Dustin, Anonymous Wolf Griffin, Idis, Kilkoto, Raxmay, Kai, Jaden Drakus, Aaron Quinn, and Tim Zim. Thank you guys very much. Every last one of you, we appreciate it. You are co-conspirators in our bullshit, and we appreciate it. Thank you very much. So, on that note, good night.
And big book.